fourth case of the day, New Equipment Leasing versus Hudgens, will be taken on the briefs and record. And so that case is under advisement. We'll proceed to the fifth case, Laxton versus Bartow.
Take on the brief. Take on the brief.
Ms. Maroney?
Good morning, Your Honor's Counsel. John Laxton is seeking relief from his involuntary commitment as a sexually violent person. And the habeas review, obviously, as the court knows, is restricted to whether or not the state court has incorrectly or unreasonably applied clearly established United States law. And John Laxton urges this court to find that it has. Now, in Kansas versus Hendricks, which was the first major United States Supreme Court case considering the constitutionality of civil commitments of sexually violent persons, the United States said that, well, traditionally in the area of civil commitments, we've talked in terms of mental illness, but the categories of psychiatry do not always match up with the legal definitions. And what is sufficient to satisfy due process is if this mental condition somehow makes a person have a very serious difficulty controlling their dangerousness. So in many ways, that's similar to the not guilty by reason of insanity defense, where a person's not able, due to their mental condition, to either conform their conduct or appreciate the wrongfulness. So after Kansas versus Crane, it's clear that it does not have to be a mental illness, but it has to be some type of mental condition that's going to separate this violent, sexually violent person from a regular criminal recidivist. And that narrowing quality that's going to set this person apart is that they have a serious difficulty controlling their sexually dangerous behavior. Now, the next case that is relevant is the Kansas versus Crane decision. And Judge Griesbach, in his very thoughtful decision, characterized it as a decision that is so devoid of clarity that no state court could be found to have either unreasonably applied it or made a ruling that was contrary to it. And what I'd ask the court to take a look at is that we do not have to digest all of Kansas versus Kane to come away with two important points. One, that it reaffirms that there has to be a determination of serious difficulty in controlling behavior. And I think that the word determination in our jurisprudence means a factual finding. What we have in Mr. Laxton's case is a jury trial. And in our jurisprudence, the way we review whether or not the fact finder, when the fact finder is a jury, whether it has made the required determination is to look at the jury instructions.
And let me ask you this question.
Yes,
by
sir.
Finding that he had a mental disorder, a disorder which creates a substantial probability that he would engage in sexually violent acts, didn't that show that the jury thought the disorder made it difficult for him to control his actions? In other words, you know, the nature of the illness itself fits the requirement, and when the jury made that finding, they were also making the finding that it was difficult for him to control his actions, albeit not directly stated.
Your Honor, that's what the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled, and that's what dissenting Justice Scalia believed. But I think the important point is that it is not in clear, ordinary English that what the court is talking about, what the jury has to find, is that this person has a serious difficulty controlling their behavior. And the importance of using common, ordinary English is discussed in Kansas versus Crane, where the court says that in ordinary English, a serious difficulty in controlling behavior. And that is what is important, is to look at the language that was given to the jury, because the United States Supreme Court has upheld the statute, this type of statute that says, as Judge Williams points out, that there's a mental disorder causing a substantial probability. But that doesn't end the inquiry.
Wisconsin permit special interrogatories to juries?
Your Honor, it does in certain cases, in some civil cases and in some mental commitment. The pattern jury instruction does include that. I think in Mr. Laxton's appeal to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, he urged that there be a special interrogatory, but he also said that it doesn't really matter how you convey it, if you convey it in the definition of mental disorder. And in fact, the Wisconsin Jury Instruction Committee has recommended a jury instruction that it recommended during the interim between Crane and Laxton. And basically, they reaffirmed it after the Laxton decision came down and said it's better to make explicit what is implicit in the statutory definitions and tell the jury that the mental condition has to cause a serious difficulty. So the Jury Instruction Committee has recommended special verdicts in some categories of cases, and in this category of case, it has recommended that it be included in the definition of mental disorder. And I think that some of the jurisdictions that have considered this case have, or I should say this issue, also have said that it's important that when we're talking about something as important as detaining a person, and in Wisconsin it's an indefinite commitment, that we can have no doubt that the jury misunderstands what they have to find.
By this amended instruction now, there isn't a need for a special interrogatory because it's in the definition, correct?
I correct.
Mean, two elements in it.
That's right. Since 2002, the juries in Wisconsin have been told that this mental disorder has to cause a serious difficulty in controlling behavior. And that language and that the thinking by the Wisconsin Jury Instruction Committee was picked up by the Arizona Supreme Court, and although they said our statute in Arizona is constitutional, we also agree with what the Wisconsin Jury Instruction Committee has said, that when we're dealing with such an important issue, it's very important to use language that the jury will understand and make it clear that the type of mental disorder has to be one that the person has a serious difficulty controlling behavior. And in terms of the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision being contrary to an unreasonable application of clearly established law, the Wisconsin Supreme Court did not approach the jury instructions as a jury would. The jury instruction was very confusing, and in fact, the Wisconsin Supreme Court only refers to part of the jury instruction, and that was the part that parroted the statute. But it did not at all address the fact that the jury instruction referred to something about causing pain or loss of freedom. And it did not even point out how it is that volitional or capacity being affected means that a person has difficulty controlling their behavior. The Wisconsin Supreme Court seemed to think that language was significant, but in Kansas versus Crane, the United States Supreme Court said, you know, we really haven't distinguished between volitional, emotional, or cognitive. That is not important. That is not key. And I think that ties into the fact that psychiatric, psychological terms do not always match up with legal terms. And so we're not going to be concerned overwhelmingly with the diagnosis or the aspect of the person's personality that is affected. We're interested in the bottom line. Is it something that this person, or should I say, does this condition incapacitate the person so that he's dangerous beyond his control and therefore will civilly commit him, as we traditionally do in mental illness type commitments for their protection because they can't help themselves and they can't, and we have to protect others from them. And the bottom line here in Mr. Laxton's case is that the jury never was told that they had to decide whether he was capable or lacked the capacity to control his behavior.
You want to save some time for rebuttal?
I did. Thank you, Your Honor.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Maroney. Mr. Weinstein.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court. This is a habeas case, so the review of the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision is under the 2254 D1 standard, and to obtain relief, Mr. Laxton has to show that the decision is either contrary to or an unreasonable application of Crane and Hendricks. I don't see how this can be a contrary to case. The Supreme Court identified Hendricks and identified Crane and discussed them in some detail and attempted to apply them to a fact situation that was far different from Mr. Laxton's and which used a definition that was much closer to the definition in Hendricks than it was in Crane. And I think that may be the key to this whole problem. I might say the jurisprudence in this circuit is that a contrary to requires a holding of the United States Supreme Court that compels the result Mr. Laxton wants. Neither of these decisions talk about jury instructions. Neither of the Supreme Court decision discusses what the jury instruction should be. So it seems to me that we're pretty clearly in an unreasonable application, and that's the way the district court analyzed it.
But certainly there have been other Supreme Court cases where the Supreme Court makes a pronouncement and doesn't frame the jury instruction. I mean, that, to me, is not the strongest argument you can make here.
Well,
and when we look at what the Supreme Court has said, they said in Crane that there must be proof of a serious difficulty in controlling behavior. And if it's a question of proof, wouldn't that be a determination made by the jury?
Well, it is a determination made by the jury, but when they say proof, doesn't that mean evidence presented? I think it does. And that, I think, is part of the problem. The court uses a number of different words to describe what it's getting at. It uses determine, which I would agree tends to address a jury. It uses proof, which I think addresses the evidence. It uses criteria, which I think probably goes to the statute. So can we take from all of that that what Laxton and Crane do is compel a result that the jury instruction must have the language that Mr. Laxton desires?
Well, when we look at Crane, the Crane jury was instructed that to find Crane was a sexually violent person, it had to find he suffered from a mental abnormality or personality disorder which made him likely to engage in future predatory acts of sexual violence. But the court still said proof of serious difficulty in controlling the behavior was required. So what makes the Laxton case materially different from Crane? And
well,
clearly the instructions here were confusing.
I disagree with you that that's what the jury was instructed in Crane. What the jury was and I think that's really the key to this case. The definition, Mr. Hendricks was committed under the mental abnormality definition of the Kansas Act. And the mental abnormality definition of the Kansas Act has the language that deals with the emotional and volitional capacity, the one that Your Honor read earlier. Mr. Crane was committed under the personality disorder. If you look at the Kansas Supreme Court case, the Kansas statute did not have a definition of personality disorder. What the jury was instructed in Crane's case was a personality disorder is a disorder defined by DSM-4 and includes antisocial personality disorder. That was Mr. Crane's diagnosis. The definition in Wisconsin doesn't make that kind of a distinction. It doesn't break out personality disorders. Wisconsin has a single definition called mental disorder, and it has the same emotional, volitional capacity language as appeared in Hendricks. So I think that's why in Crane there was a problem with whether or not there was either proof or whether or not the jury determined that he had a serious difficulty controlling his behavior. But when that mental disorder definition includes the language that says the person has a congenital or acquired condition affecting the emotional or volitional capacity that predisposes the person to commit acts of sexual violence, I think that's the language. And it's true it's not explicit, but I think that's the language. If the jury believes that from the evidence and makes the finding that the person meets this definition, I think they have determined that the person has serious difficulty.
Well, what are we to make of that Wisconsin revised instruction, the pattern jury instruction, which after Crane added that language specifically linking the mental disorder to the person's difficulty in controlling behavior?
I think they're being cautious, and I think that's a wise decision. We don't really know, and again, this is collateral review. On direct review, could the position Mr. Laxton takes be a reasonable conclusion? Absolutely it could. And maybe the Supreme Court will reach that. And if they do, we certainly don't want to risk all of the commitments that have gone before. But for him to obtain habeas relief, he can't just show that the position he reaches is a reasonable one under the Supreme Court decisions. He's got to show that the decision that the U.S. that the Wisconsin Supreme Court reached was unreasonable in light of the Supreme Court's decisions. And in my view, either the Supreme Court's decision or the decision Mr. Laxton argues are reasonable results after Hendricks versus Crane, because I don't really know what those decisions say about the instruction. And certainly it's reasonable one could conclude from them that there ought to be an instruction that way. But that's what goes with direct review. That's not the question on collateral review, and that's where we are. So I think the question is, given the Wisconsin definition of mental abnormality, which is virtually identical to the one in Hendricks, was it reasonable for the Wisconsin Supreme Court to conclude that this case was closer to Hendricks than it was to Crane, and therefore the instruction in this case was okay? Is there any further questions?
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Weinstein. Ms. Maroney?
Your Honors, I disagree that Kansas versus Crane is distinguishable because of the difference between mental abnormality or personality disorder. And I will point the court out to the section that is in Kansas versus Hendricks, where the court talks about the Kansas Act linking the finding of dangerousness to the existence of a mental abnormality or personality disorder that makes it difficult, if not impossible, for the person to control his dangerous behavior. That is at 521 U.S. at 358. And so it's clear that they're talking about both the mental abnormality, which statutorily was defined as affecting volitional capability, or personality disorder, which says nothing about volition. Both of those two categories have to make the person, or either of those categories have to make the person have a difficulty in controlling their behavior. And we don't have the benefit of a Kansas Supreme Court decision saying what kind of jury instruction is necessary. There never was a further reported case. But I ask this court to grant Mr. Laxton habeas relief.
All right, thank you, Ms. Maroney. Thank you, Mr. Weinstein. The case is taken under advisement. The court will proceed.